Albizia is a menace hiding in plain sight.
Standing at 150 feet tall, with a 300-foot canopy, it is a beautiful tree, but beauty isn't everything. It destroys native habitats and wildlife while standing, and man-made structures when they fall in the wind. Albizia trees are a menace to all.
One of the biggest obstacles to controlling Albizia is how quickly it spreads. Albizia trees produce hundreds of seeds and spread them by releasing them into the air, scattering around the tree for hundreds of feet, making a forest of Albizia in a short amount of time.
Since Albizia trees mature at an age of 4 years, they can start to make and spread seeds quickly over large areas of the wind, allowing them to quickly dominate less prolific native species and wipe them out in large areas of the island. We have a problem that's literally growing all around us. There are solutions to this existential problem, though. Organizations like the Albizia Project are dedicated to finding a use for this tree that is normally thought of as dangerous garbage.
This team has been working on ways to use the Albizia for a constructive purpose by using the wood of the tree to build structures.
But there are many more challenges to be overcome before Albizia can be processed in mass to make affordable lumber.
To get a better insight on the dilemmas facing the development prospects of Albizia, we talked to Joey Valenti, founder of the Albizia Project, an organization dedicated to making Albizia a workable alternative to imported lumber.
My name is Joey Valenti. I founded the Albizia Project. I was a student I graduated a few years ago at the UH Manoa School of Architecture, and my thesis was on trying to find ways to use, like you guys are saying, you know, a low value or underutilized material and create economic drivers that will help to restore ecosystems.
So from what you've been doing, can we answer the question, can Albizia be controlled and put to use in an economically viable manner in Hawaii?
Yes, the short answer. It's a complicated question. So it can clearly be put to use because we're finding more and more ways to make things with it. And, you know, the story about using an invasive material, or, you know, there's all kinds of products now that are using, you know, recycled plastics or other waste materials, right? So it's a growing trend, and people are realizing that it's an important factor in the bigger picture, you know, climate change and resource depletion. So when we can use materials that are not taking from the earth, then it's always a positive. So so there's a lot of support around, I think, the community and you know, even you could say the industry on how we can take this material and start to use it.
So the next question is kind of this continuation. What's standing in between doing this on a large scale right now?
It just takes time, like any industry, right? You have to make sure there's a market. You have to make sure that there's enough of a supply. There has to be infrastructure in place to make it economically feasible. So connecting all of those dots, I think, are the challenges, but it's part of the process. So I'm confident that we can start to consistently manage Albizia on Oahu at the scale we're working at.
Does Hawaii currently have the milling and processing capacity to produce enough Albizia lumber for large-scale implementation? And what would it take to get it to that level?
So just to clarify, you asked if there's enough to implement at large scale?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of answered that in the last question. I don't think there is a lot, right? So I've read that there's an estimated like 5% of Hawaii's land mass that's covered in Albizia. So that's pretty significant. Not all of that's accessible. Some of it's, you know, only accessible by helicopter or hiking, right? So there's a lot of it that's gonna be managed through the how they poison the trees. And that makes sense in certain areas, but where we're looking is like, yeah, basically how can you get to it, you know, with a vehicle, or how can you get it onto a log truck so then we can move it. So then there's still lots of it at that, in that, those access areas. But I would say, you know, just to reiterate the last answer, there's not, it's not set up like you would see like a large lumber processing operation where you have stands that are lined up like planted specifically for harvesting, and that's how they do it at a scale where it's cost efficient. And for us, you know, we're getting it to be like competitive with other hardwoods, but it's not like it's going to be 2x4 dimension lumbers, where that industry is harvesting at large scale and replanting at large scale. We're looking at kind of capturing the waste stream, right? And incentivizing the removal, but it's not going to be at any scale like the mainland.
Can albizia be sustainably controlled in Hawaii? It's too soon to tell.
This venture still needs time to grow and expand into other use cases and show how we can benefit from an invasive species.
While there is a long road ahead before albizia can be exterminated and milled en masse in Hawaii to provide the islands with a source of affordable local lumber, the journey will be worth it.
Now I've got you wondering, how does this affect me? Albizia can kill. It has very shallow roots for its height and will fall over in high winds. Many houses in Hawaii are along valley walls that are infested with albizia that comes right up to their back door. Its large, heavy branches fall and crush houses and sometimes injure their occupants.
Aside from being a risk to life and property, albizia outcompetes native plants like ohia and koawood that provide food and habitats for native birds and insects that are dwindling in population and only found here in Hawaii.
Albizia is not only a threat on land, it also kills off of coral reefs and fish. So how the heck does a tree kill off coral reef and fish? It's an entire chain of events that connect. When something changes, it can affect an entire ecosystem. When these albizia shade out and outcompete native trees of deep roots, they compromise the integrity of the soil and let that soil turn into mud and run off into streams during heavy rain. The mud from the streams flows down into an estuary and then to the ocean. The runoff from these streams blocks the sunlight in the water, choking out the oxygen that is produced from phytoplankton and plankton in the water, which are the primary food source for many species of fish and sea organisms. Without the oxygen in the water, the fish and coral die.
If you could only take one thing away from this podcast today, we'd like you to remember that solving the albizia epidemic in our islands is something that cannot be put off. It's an existential threat that will only get worse with time. A task this big requires commercial partners, and commercial partners need to be profitable to be viable. And that is where the repurposing of albizia comes into play. We don't yet know if local albizia lumber production will be profitable in the long term, but if it is, it'll open new, more sustainable paths to controlling this dangerous foe that threatens thousands.
Thank you for listening. We hope that next time you see an albizia tree, you think of its significance and how things would look without them.
Mahalo nui loa from Evan and Spencer.